Earth, sky.
The old saying, you are what you eat, is actually true.
You're listening to Samantha Price talking about whales. And this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Samantha Price is a researcher who studies whale evolution at the University of California, Davis. In a May 2010 study published in the Proceedings of the Royal Society B, she makes a connection between what whales ate millions of years ago and their body sizes today. She spoke with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson about her study and other mysteries of whale evolution.
Your study that was released in May 2010 says that, at least in part, that whales, which are the biggest mammals on Earth, evolved to be so large by eating organisms that are pretty small. So can you tell us about this?
Yeah, I mean, this is a fascinating observation that has obviously been known for many years. The blue whale, which is, we think, is probably the largest ever living mammal, animal even, as well as mammal, certainly the largest vertebrate in terms of size, eats these tiny, almost microscopic krill and plankton. And so this seems very strange that you have a very large size, and but you're eating something so small. But these organisms that are small, they're highly nutritious, and they're also exceedingly abundant. So if you specialize to capture vast quantities of these highly abundant and nutritious prey, it provides you the energy that you need to grow so big. And additionally, if you're large, you get a larger mouth size. So it means you can collect even more and more of these prey. And also, they're living in cold water. So large size helps them cope with the cold temperatures because they don't lose heat so easily. And finally, it's the reason that they're aquatic. It's really important that allows this large size. So it's the buoyancy of water actually reduces gravitational constraints on size. And so you will never see a land mammal getting as large as whales because they have so many other constraints on them from gravity.
Why do you believe that what whales ate played such a big role in their evolution?
The old saying, you are what you eat, is actually true. The diet of an animal is linked to a lot of other aspects of its biology, such as where it lives or how it interacts with its environment, when and where it produces, as well as its size. And size is what we were particularly interested in our study. One of the interesting things we found in whales that some people hadn't really sort of described before is that squid eaters have larger body sizes compared to all their close relatives that eat fish. And we actually think that this has something to do with needing to dive more deeply. Squid are generally very deep water living, and so whales that eat them need to dive deeply and spend more time underwater. And large size actually confers energetic advantages when diving, certain physiological things. They can hold more oxygen and things like that. So that actually helps them when they're sort of going after their prey.
So your study also mentioned smaller animals like porpoises that are related to whales, but they're tiny compared to these whales. How did they evolve to eat what they eat?
Whales is a general term, and that sort of includes things that we know as whales, baleen whales and killer whales. But they also includes the dolphins and porpoises. They're all very closely related. In fact, the killer whale is actually officially a dolphin. So we have these smaller ones are indeed whales, and they are fish eaters, and just like the ancestral whales. So we know from the fossil record that ancestral whales were fish eaters. And our study shows that sort of soon after the origination of these modern whales, we get a great diversity in diets. And this is also supported in the fossil record as well, that you see the evolution of the baleen whales, which are eating krill and small fish. They're filter feeding. And then you get the evolution of what we call the toothed whales, which have similar diets to their ancestors. They're eating fish, but then some start to specialize on squid. But over time, these fish eaters have been gradually getting smaller. And so the porpoises, the very small things, like the vaquita, which is the smallest, is 32 kilos, compared to the blue whale, which can weigh up to around 160 metric tons. And so it seems to be an adaptation, according to our study, for fish eating, that the smaller, maybe they're more maneuverable. And they're definitely not needing the large size to be able to dive deeply because most of the fish are close to the surface. I think anytime you see such a diversity, you know, really big and really small together, that always drives us as scientists to try and understand how that evolved. By looking at how size evolved and its relationship to diet, we found that the largest differences in size did indeed appear a long time ago in the early evolutionary history of modern whales.
In terms of what you studied, is the book kind of closed on whale evolution, or what are some of the outstanding mysteries?
Well, absolutely not. The book is not closed. Well, one thing, I'd be out of a job if it was. But there are many fascinating questions out there just waiting for data to really answer them. And the one thing that really got me interested in whale evolution and still intrigues me and we don't have a good answer for is concerns how and why the whales became aquatic. So around 50 million years ago, ancestral whales lived on land. And we can identify them as whales, which seems very strange, but there are certain aspects to the bones that we can identify as whales. And they were sort of about the size of the dog. And in the next 10 to 15 million years, they became fully aquatic. And if you sort of look at the reconstructions that we have of them, they look very much like modern whales, even though these were archaic whales. And, you know, 10 to 15 million years seems like a really long time to us. But in evolutionary terms, this was an amazingly rapid change. And they had to alter so many different fundamental biological systems. They had to evolve new ways of seeing, of hearing, communicating, keeping warm, moving, because everything is different in water compared to land. And so I think this is something that just fascinates me, how and why this occurred. And we know very little about this right now. And I think that work that takes the information from the fossil record, where we can actually see some of these changes occurring, such as sort of hind limb loss, we can see various fossils with smaller and smaller legs until now modern whales don't have any hind limb at all, but they have a tiny vestigial pelvis. And sort of combines this with studies that compare the biology of modern whales to their closest land relatives, which are hippos. And so I think by combining both of those perspectives, we can help to really understand the transition from land to sea, which is just, to me, a fascinating evolutionary event.
You've been listening to Samantha Price, postdoctoral researcher at the University of California, Davis. And this has been Earth Skies, Clear Voices for Science. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Jorge Salazar. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science. We're at earthsky.org.